David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. He's in studio. Obviously, we will touch on Zanati's addiction issues with regard to Game of Thrones. But we also want to talk about some of the issues that I've been having, getting angry with people and getting upset with people when they get upset with other things. This whole stereotyping thing, is it really such a problem? Isn't it, you know, obviously if it does harm and if it's negative and you talk about Jews as being stingy, that's a negative stereotype and that's a, you know, that feeds into a narrative of anti-Semitism, etc. But if we say, you know, this is true of women, well, that's true of Jews. We like our food. Is it a bad thing? I find it so difficult to be offended by everything, actually anything. But David, what is your thoughts on it? Good morning.
Morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanati. How are you doing?
Morning. I'm good, thank you.
Still have the pink hair. A very, very complicated and multi-layered subject we're talking about today, because I think, again, you know, when we talk about prejudice, we're talking about generalizations that people make just according to what people see. If someone is wearing a certain religious garb, or they are of a certain color, or even a certain gender, or even, Howard, a certain size. It can be really, I mean, stereotyping can be of almost anything. And I think for me, it can be dangerous. I think we have to be very careful to be more conscious of our automatic stereotyping. I think, you know, I mean, it all kind of goes back to our early days, you know, when we had to fight for resources, you know, and we stuck to our groups and people.
Us and them kind of situation. Sure.
But I'd like to think we've evolved since then. And we need to become more conscious of our stereotyping. And it's very, very interesting because a lot of research is being done about one's unconscious stereotyping. It's actually called implicit bias. We often say to ourselves, why do good people do bad things? You know, how does this happen? And, you know, we're talking about the division between one's consciousness and unconsciousness. And I'll give you an example. So, you know, maybe we all say, you know, women should all be as good a pilots as men. And they should absolutely give all the opportunity. Imagine you get on a flight and a lady comes on the intercom and says, "Hi, I'm your pilot." And guess what? The co-pilot's name is also Wendy. How are you going to feel about that? And it's interesting to look at those kind of situations where one says one has no bias or
but there is some form of inherent bias.
Well,
Zanati, I'll never forget a story that you told when you worked in a bank. And it was a racial stereotype that another black woman came in and would not deal with you, even though you were more qualified than your white male colleague. She wanted, as a black woman, still wanted to work with a white male rather than a black woman who was eminently more qualified.
True.
That's an internalized bias.
And where do these biases, you know, these bias, is there a word called bias, Howard? Mm. We have to check English with you.
Yes.
The bias, where do these things come from? And clearly we see it comes from early on, where we are given certain toys to play with. We were given very powerful messages from the people around us, from media, from teachers, from the environment bombards us with stereotypes. And I think for me, that's the important point, is that...
So are you saying, David, following that, that we should never stereotype?
You know, I think...
You know, what about humor? I mean, I genuinely feel that we're living in a post-humor society and that there are a few of us left that are still kicking and screaming and trying to introduce a little bit of humor into daily life. But on the most part, humor's almost dead. If you take a look at the late night circuit in the United States, the comedy circuit, it's boring because it's safe. And society has deemed certain subjects to be funny, found funny, i.e. example, Donald Trump, we'll have to laugh at him. But that's it. Anything outside of that realm is no longer funny. That's why the Oscars are dead. Nobody watches it because there's no entertainment value, because there's no irreverence and humor and shock value. Mm. We've destroyed all of it. Now, I understand what you're saying. You're saying it actually comes from quite a negative place. Mm. It comes from an us versus them, and we had to have our own village or our own clan, really what it is. And our clan, we had to find commonalities that linked all of us within our own clan, and we had to find commonalities in the other that wasn't the same as ours. So we all had black hair, the other clan had blonde hair. So therefore we could make that a distinction, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
That's where a lot of this comes from. I get it. Mm. And what's happened is certainly in the area of male, female, of gender, there's been an incredible amount of prejudice experienced by women, for example, the way through the process. Does that mean, though, that all bias is not bias, that all stereotyping is wrong? You know, why do we laugh when I played a clip the other day, it was an American comedian who actually is funny, talking about this one particular jail up in the Catskills in New York State, where it's the place of choice for Jews. And he was laughing and he said, you know what happens when you drop the soap in the shower, somebody screams, bend at the knees, you know, because Jews have arthritis and we worry about our health. And it's funny. Why are you laughing? You're laughing because that is typical of Jews, of older Jewish guys who would be like. So the point is that sometimes stereotyping is funny. Zanati will often say, oh, that's such a white person thing. Or no, in our, you know, we would never do that in the cause of the community, whatever it would be. We do have commonalities. Why is it wrong to laugh at those and poke fun in a seemingly harmless way? Are you saying it's never harmless?
I think for me there is a line in the sand, but definitely I think we've become very sensitive to, being stereotyped. And because we've seen in the past that if we jump to conclusions, it leads to generalizations, and generalizations can become very, very dangerous. But absolutely, I think we have lost our ways, you know, in some aspects, because it's important to know that yes, you know, if we look at it statistically, if we had to say that the majority of males are physically stronger than females, I think that, you know, if the research was done, it would show that that is true.
Right.
So then can we now generalize that men are stronger than women? Maybe. But then what do we do with that information, and how far do we take it? And I think that's the, you know, that's the issue, is how far do we take those generalizations and those stereotypes? So I think that's where the responsibility comes in.
But my question to you is, if we say, I mean, no research has been done. Actually, I think it actually has been, because I remember reading it, and that's quite funny. But assume no research has been done about men following directions and actually following ways or asking for help or whatever. And in fact, research actually was done. I'm remembering it. How much time men waste in their lives getting lost because they won't ask for directions. But let's assume nobody had actually done that, research. And we've just noticed socially, anecdotally, that men never seem to follow the cooking instructions on the box of steel cut oats. Why is it so bad to say, oh, such a man thing, or ask a man and you'll get, we see this, that it is humor because it's only funny because it does reflect a reality. It wouldn't be funny if it didn't.
No, absolutely. And I think for me, that's where the line is blurred, Howard, because certain things are absolutely funny. And we need to say that, you know, when we generalize, there are certain characteristics that people have, whether it's ethnicity or religion. Of course, they have unique characteristics. But I suppose let's take your example a little bit further around men. So if we say, you know, men never ask women for directions, they're too proud, and yeah, we see that often happening. But then let's take something a little different with men and say men need to be strong. all men need to be strong and the protectors. They need to be the ones who are the ones who go into war. They are the ones who need to not show emotion as much as women, because it's not accepted, because that's what they are expected to do.
So that's where it becomes dangerous, is what you're saying.
Right. James Bond.
Hold on, don't you dare. What are you going to say about James Bond?
I was going to say, when James Bond is male.
Okay.
And James Bond is, I'm just using him as an example.
Right.
Is seen as this suave, kind of,
Yes, and that's why we love him.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But we've got to be very.
What's your point?
My point being.
I'm finding myself a little hostile.
You are.
Can you sense that? Can you pick that up? We didn't need a psychologist in the room to tell us that.
My friend is James Bond.
Right.
So we have to be very careful to understand that this is a fictional character, understand this is fun, and we can enjoy him, but at the same time explain to our children that this is not real. People are not perfect. Men don't have to be perfect. Men don't have to be womanizers. And we need to be aware of that.
So I feel like it's a very dangerous conversation. Very dangerous. If I like this. 8:22, I'm Harold Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting to David Abramson. We're talking about stereotypes. When is it appropriate? When is it not? Is it ever appropriate? And when are we allowed to find things funny? I really would love your thoughts on 34519 or 0618951019. Unsigned says, hi, in Israel, there's a stereotyping not only also between religious and non-religious people, and even within the religious community, where a white shirt or a shirt with stripes, etc. So there's a lot of stereotyping just simply because of what you wear. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let me know what you feel about this. Unsigned says the problem stems from a hypersensitivity together with a society that, especially in America, especially in America, granting huge powers to people who get offended. It's almost like winning the lottery. People who have historically been oppressed and are still suffering see the reaction to being offended as a quick way to solve their woes. Well, I think that's actually stereotyping and generalizing a bit. The legal system is also feeling this by punishing offenders. The lady who went to jail for 2 years for using a K-word is a ridiculous example. Do you want to tell me that anyone heard her that was offended to the extent that is equal to the value of 2 years in jail? Absolutely. I think it was so wonderful. She should have got 3 years. But that's just my view on it. I don't think it's about the fact that anybody who heard it was harmed to an equivalent amount of 2 years in jail. But I think that it harms society to the most terrible, terrible degree. She was given ample opportunity, ample opportunity to retract what she said, to apologize, to show some remorse. And she deliberately didn't do it. I think she got what she deserved and could maybe even have got more. She is very, very guilty of undermining the fabric of South Africa. African society, a society that is so precariously balanced because of our history of racism and because of current racism, whether it's overt or covert. That's my thought on that. David?
I think it's important just to clarify what we were saying earlier around, I used the word implicit bias. And it's important to point out that implicit bias is an unconscious association. So it's a belief or attitude toward a social group, and you associate certain qualities or characteristics to all members of that group. And that's what I would believe we call stereotyping. And there's a very big difference between explicit and implicit. Mm. So I think that's very important that if someone's explicitly a racist or anti-Semitic, then it's very clear. But I think for me, we need to introspect and look at the implicit biases that we might hold, because those are the ones that are really difficult to deal with. And ladies flying on the plane as an example. Would you really, really, if you were in that situation, be comfortable with female pilots flying your plane? Or would you feel uncomfortable?
I keep worrying about the fact that you keep bringing that up. It's 8:31. Please join our conversation, 34519 or 0618951019.
In your headlines, five buildings burnt in San Francisco gas explosion. This is after private construction workers cut a natural gas line. Record high of anti-Semitism in the UK. The number of recorded incidents rose to 1,652. Five people in Busasa corruption case arrested. This is over corruption allegations with the Department of Correctional Services. And book club starts challenge to empower young girls. They are donating sanitary pads to enable young girls to go to school. Catch the full bulletin at 9 a.m.
Thanks, Anati. Time is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Taking a look once again at the SMS line. And I do want you to participate in this conversation, if at all. If you do have a view on this at all, I think it's an important one to have. Moshe says, the funniest comedy piece I ever saw is Jackie Mason's Jews versus Gentiles. You have to hear it, Howard. It's so accurate. It still applies today, wherever you are in the world, although he performed this 30 years ago in New York. It's so true. I can't help laughing, although today it's probably not a PC. And, you know, I think I have heard that one, but many of Jackie Mason's, if we just bring it internally, and you look inward at the Jewish, let's say Jewish community, and he jokes about things like, well, there's no Jewish home that has a tool set, but we've all got a butter knife. You know, the joke being that Jewish men are not handy. Now, obviously, there are certain Jewish men, I haven't met them, but there must be, there must be one out there listening who actually is very good at handiwork, right. And can be a DIY, do yourself know what it? Yes, you see, I don't even know what that means.
Yes.
Anyway, so the point is that it's funny because it's largely true. And is it harmful? Well, I guess if I'm trying to get a job as a janitor, then it might be. But other than that, it really isn't.
Well, I had the privilege years ago, actually as a child, to see Jackie Mason.
Oh, wow.
And when he came to Sun City. And the first thing he said when he got up was, I know what you're all thinking. You're calculating how many people are in the room, trust the ticket, and this guy is making a fortune. And it was hilarious. It is hilarious.
Yes.
Because maybe, I think that was happening to a degree.
Right.
But imagine a non-Jew had said that, who got up, a non-Jewish comedian who got up and said, ah, you know, there are Jews in the audience and I bet you calculating.
I remember that line as well because he said, this is not a comedy show. It's a gold mine.
Yes.
Because you're working out. Well, you know, at
he's
interval,
making a fortune.
This guy's making a fortune. He's printing money.
Yeah.
And that is such a Jewish way of looking at it. And is it bad? Well, maybe if you're somebody who is anti-Semitic and believes that all Jews function on is a drive for money, well, then maybe it is, and it can be used to the negative.
Right. So generalizations and maybe we can even say stereotypes are funny at times, are really funny because we can identify it and in ourselves and in the people around us. But I suppose, again, we're talking about when it's taken to the extreme. So now if we take it further and we say now, okay, now all Jews are
money grabbing,
and are brilliant at business, and again, we take it to those extremes, and that's where things become dangerous. But it is definitely easier to laugh at ourselves within ourselves rather than when other people point these generalizations out.
Yes, because then we start to get a little uncomfortable.
We do.
Mickey says, well, then criminals and drug dealers should be given 5 to 10 years minimum sentence. The woman shouting the K-word was derogatory, but those actively calling for her murder and death to whites aren't touched and arrested. Societal norms and laws need to be equally applied. That's from Mickey. Mickey, I'm not arguing at all the fact that racism needs to be dealt with equally, no matter which sector it comes from and no matter which sector it's aimed at. That isn't the argument. And certainly our legal system and we've now known this. We've seen what's gone on at the NPA, at the National Prosecuting Authority. We know that these things are a problem, but in of itself, we need to look at the punishment and say, look what she did. I think was incredibly, incredibly dangerous and incredibly divisive and does real damage to society. Let's bring this guy in.